Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing today? Just make sure we're online here. Okay, so today, remember from yesterday that Paul had met Lydia down at the river, and that promised you a few photos. So I'll show you those first. Okay, this is a picture of the river. It's about a mile from Philippi today, and it's kind of what it looks like today. You see they built a little shrine there on the side to I need to adjust something here. Okay, that's better. I could hear myself in my ear, and it was bothering me for some reason today. This is the river that they were talking about. They were down by, and you see that today they built a little shrine there on the left. You can see it. Another picture of that river. So, give you a little idea that it's about a mile from Philippi. And so, that was rather interesting. I have some more pictures of Philippi itself after. Let's get on with the lesson. First, we'll start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for this time we get to spend in your word. May it, with your thoughts and what you would like me to relate to the people, be present in my thoughts. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Okay, so today we're in Acts 16:16, and here's a kind of an interesting time frame that Paul ended up upsetting people again. That seems to be his forte. He thought he was doing something good, I'm sure, but he's going to come across. We're still down by the river, by the way. We haven't gone back to the city proper. But while he was down there, I'll just read it. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So basically a fortune teller. And as we well know from the Bible verses, fortune telling is not condoned by God at all. It's actually something that is not is frowned upon completely, and we know that it's an act of Satan. So Paul is going to help the situation out. So on verse 17. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out. And he came out the same hour. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace under the rulers. So now we're back in Philippi. And brought them to the magistrate, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." Well, we soon find out that here's where Paul gets to use his partial Roman ability to get out of a situation, but not without being causing a little bit of a jail time. You know, in verse 21, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. I guess these magistrates were actually Romans. Not sure the exact computation of the area at that time. We know there were Jews there. They mentioned being in the synagogue. But I guess it was under Roman rule, because the it sounds like the leaders were actually Romans. And knowing a little bit about that time frame, that was during the time that the Greek mythology gods were the high point of most of this area. As we'll see in Paul's journeys, he's constantly fighting with these different gods and goddesses of the Greek mythology. So Acts 16:22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. I looked that word stripes up. I want to make sure that that actually stood for beatings. But yeah, it stood for the actual, like a leather strap they used in this kind of thing. And a little Jewish back laws. It's funny, in Leviticus, they stated that you're not supposed to do any more than 40 stripes. So it became well known that the common punishment was 39 stripes. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made them feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. This is that famous scene we've heard about, at least I have, in sermons over the years. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." And this becomes then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. This person is going to come to the Lord based on this, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Sometimes it can be the actions that we do that don't seem logical at the time that may save others. And that's an important thing to remember, to really be in tune with the Holy Spirit, to know when it's a situation where they should have fled, like we'll see in other passages, or a time that they just stood there and waited, knowing that the jailer was going to help save the jailer. And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. They must have went back to his house and had a little bit of a time talking about it. And it sounds like, by the verbiage, that the entire household became saved. Praise the Lord. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he sat meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Sounds like the jailer brought, not only at that point, he might have been the one that actually gave him the beating, and now feeling remorse, as you saw in that prior verse. He cleaned them up real nice, cleaned them up and fed them. And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told is saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now, therefore, depart and go in peace. But Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privately? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out. So they want them to own up for what they did. And he's using his Roman citizenship to make a point that, you know, I'm a Roman just like you are. So I have as much right as you do. It's interesting. I always think back to, I think the Lord picked Paul on purpose just because he was a Roman. Because that seems to help him a lot when it comes to his ministry. And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them and brought them out and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. So that's pretty much this will be the first time, just a few little notes I made about Philippi that I thought I'd bring up. That in Philippians 1, 3 through 6, as I'm going to read, it was, you can see how much Paul liked this area because he really had it was one of his favorite places. A very large church was actually established there. And I'll show you the ruins of it here in a second. But that it became quite a central spot for that part of Europe. It's actually in Europe and is barely into what we consider to be Europe today. And it was actually the name of the city was named after the father of Alexander the Great. A couple hundred years before this, when Alexander the Great actually conquered that area, his father's name was Philip. And so he named the city Philippi, and it was a favorite city of Paul, like I said. And as you read in Philippians 1, 3 through 6, we'll read it here together. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. This is the letter to the Philippians. Always in my prayer of mine for you are you all making requests with joy. Does sound like it's a very friendly people, other than the people who ran the city. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. They figure he actually wrote this letter when he was in jail in Rome and sent it to them. So this would be probably about 10 years later or so. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And something I always like to point out about Paul is that just like us, we're looking forward to seeing the rapture. And even Paul, 2,000 years ago, thought it might have been in his lifetime. So I think that's always been an important point, that that Paul was always looking for the blessed hope. So that's it for today. Again, I mentioned it was a famous, it's a famous trade route from the Roman Empire into Asia. And most people had to travel through this area. So I'm sure that they saw a lot of traffic. And this church here really prospered. And I got a few pictures here. This is what they believe is a part of the prison that Paul may have been at. You see a little sign there, tourist attraction. And it was probably much larger than this because it mentions other prisoners, but it may not have been this cell, but they think that because they undug this. This whole area was actually excavated in the early 1900s. A few more pictures. There's a picture of they believe it's the church, what's left of it now, at Philippi, and that's an overseeing area of that general area where I just showed you that picture. As this is basically the whole city of Philippi, but the church here, pretty predominant here, as you see off to the right there. Back to that river I showed you already. So that's it for today, and I hope everybody has a great day, and we'll see where we're off to tomorrow. I can't remember where the next stop is. I think it's Thessalonica, where the famous Thessalonians was written from to. So we'll talk more about that later, and I hope everybody has a great day. And with some word of prayer, dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your words and for the mission work of Paul. So grateful because he stretched out into this area that became the modern Europe, which a lot of us, I know me personally, is from Britain area, and so it may have been how originally my ancestors received your word. And so grateful for your word. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Well, everybody have a great day, and we will talk to you tomorrow.